Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports two arrests on Friday evening. The first arrest occurred at 6:04 p.m. at 904 Boundary Street in Red Oak. Deputies arrested 24-year-old Ozzie Ray Hunter of Red Oak on a valid Mills County warrant for violation of probation. Hunter was taken to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $2,500 bond awaiting transportation to Mills County. At 6:55 p.m., deputies arrested 28-year-old Bruce Anthony Kyman Jr. of Red Oak for criminal mischief third degree following an incident at the Montgomery County Jail where he did extensive damage to his cell. Kyman Jr. was held on an additional $2,000 bond. The Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest of a juvenile after responding to a call about a family dispute. Officers were called at 12:42 a.m. Saturday to the 500 block of High Street, and upon arrival, learned that a 17-year-old juvenile male had threatened his father with a knife and then ran from the scene. The Red Oak PD then requested the assistance of the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office canine unit to track down the boy, and canine Rex and his handler were able to track the juvenile through several residential yards and located him in the 200 block of Oakwood Avenue. The boy was taken into custody and charged with aggravated assault while displaying a dangerous weapon, an aggravated misdemeanor. He was taken to the juvenile detention center in Council Bluffs. No injuries were reported during that incident. Page County Sheriff's Office reports 23-year-old Skyler William Shane of Clarinda was arrested a little after 10 a.m. on Friday at the Page County Courthouse. He was taken into custody on a warrant for theft in the fifth degree. Shane was transported to the Page County Jail where he posted $300 bond and was released pending further court proceedings. A man is in custody and charges are pending against his significant other following a domestic disturbance that took place at around 10:45 a.m. Friday at their residence about 4 miles northeast of Essex. The Page County Sheriff's Office says deputies were dispatched to 1138 C Avenue in response to the disturbance. Their investigation determined that 28-year-old Richard Allen Bloomquist and 25-year-old Taylor Ray McDaniel had been involved in a physical assault on each other. Bloomquist was arrested and transported to the Page County Jail on charges of domestic abuse assault and 3 counts of child endangerment. He remained in the Page County Jail without bond Friday evening. McDaniel was transported to the Shenandoah Medical Center emergency room by Essex Fire and Rescue. The extent of her injuries was not immediately known. Charges are pending on McDaniel at this time. A Des Moines woman who pled guilty to leaving her 3 young children alone in a filthy feces-covered home has been sentenced to probation. The Des Moines Register reports a judge on Friday sentenced 26-year-old Destiny K. Miller to 3 years of probation, which she'll serve in a women's residential facility. She must complete substance abuse and mental health treatment and must maintain a job or pursue an education. Miller pled guilty in February to neglect or abandonment of a dependent person. Police arrested Miller in October after her children, ages 4, 2, and 1, were found outside their home. One child was covered in feces, and another had a full diaper. Defense lawyer Nicholas Dial says Miller takes responsibility, but noted she was overwhelmed and in a bad relationship. Authorities say one person has died in an early morning fire near the small eastern Iowa city of Brandon on Friday. The Benton County Sheriff's Office says firefighters were called to the house about 1:30 a.m. Friday. The home was engulfed in flames when firefighters arrived, but 4 people were able to escape. The body of one person was found inside the home. One person was flown to an Iowa City hospital. Authorities are withholding the names of those involved until relatives can be notified. Brandon is about 30 miles northwest of Cedar Rapids. Officials with the Iowa Corn Growers Association said Friday that the Harrison-Crawford County Corn Growers Association will host an Iowa Secretary of Agriculture candidate forum on May 23rd from 7 until 9 p.m. at the Boulders Conference Center at 2507 Boulder Drive in Denison. The event will provide a special opportunity for a question-and-answer panel discussion with all 6 candidates vying for the Iowa Secretary of Agriculture position. Those 6 candidates in alphabetical order include Ray Gasser, a farmer and former president of the American Soybean Association. Also, Tim Gannon, a farmer crop insurance agent and former USDA official for Tom Vilsack. Chad Ingalls, a farmer and former Iowa State University Extension Watershed Specialist, Craig Lang, a farmer and former president of the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation, Mike Nagg, current Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, formerly the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture, Dan Zumbach, a farmer and current Iowa State Senator. The discussion will be moderated by veteran farm broadcaster and former Iowa Corn District 4 field manager Bruce Garter. The candidate forum is free and open to the public. It will provide a unique opportunity for the citizens of West Central Iowa to hear from all six candidates in one location, helping them decide who to vote for in the upcoming primary on June 5th and ultimately the general election this coming November. In other news, the Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest of two individuals for minor in possession of alcohol, first offense early Saturday morning. At 1:42 a.m., officers arrested 20-year-old Jennifer Nicole Gibson and 19-year-old Jacob Anthony Anderson, both of Red Oak, at the intersection of Prospect and Elm Streets in Red Oak. Both were cited and released. Sheriff's deputies in Page County Thursday arrested a man on burglary and theft charges. 27-year-old Keith James Land, who is formerly of Clarinda, was taken into custody following a brief foot pursuit that began after a search warrant was executed at 3160 Oak Avenue in rural Page County, or about 3 miles east of Brattyville. Land was arrested on district court warrants for felony burglary in the third degree and felony theft in the second degree. He was transported to the Page County Jail and held on a $5,000 cash-only bond. Additional charges are pending. A school bus driver from the Red Oak school from Red Oak was cited Thursday after the Red Oak School District bus he was driving sideswiped a parked car near the Red Oak Middle School. Red Oak police say 77-year-old Roger Lynn Wagoner was driving a 2015 Bluebird school bus westbound at 4th and Hammond Streets at around 3:25 p.m. when the bus sideswiped a legally parked 2005 Chevy Classic passenger car. The car was occupied by 83-year-old Marilyn Gentry, who was waiting for her grandchild to be dropped off at the Red Oak Middle School. No students were injured on board the bus, nor was either driver. The car sustained about $6,000 damage, while damage to the bus was estimated at $2,000. Wagner was cited for failure to maintain control. Police in Red Oak Thursday evening arrested a man on assault and other charges. 24-year-old Jesse Dean Ullman of Red Oak was arrested at around 7:40 p.m. for domestic abuse assault, obstruction of emergency communications, and contempt of court for violating a no-contact protective order. Ullman was also charged with possession of a controlled substance, marijuana. He was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on two separate bonds, a $300 cash bond for the warrant and a $1,000 bond for the possession charge. And also in other news, Cass County Democratic Party Chair Sherry Telly reports that Sidney Axne, one of the candidates for the Democratic nomination for the third congressional seat currently held by David Young, will be at the Atlantic Pizza Ranch on Wednesday, May 16th at 5:30 p.m. Her campaign says Axne wants to fight to rebuild Iowa's infrastructure, grow the state's rural economies, protect Iowa farmers, and maintain the rural quality of life. She plans to stand up for Iowa's family farms, and that starts by ensuring the Farm Bill works for all farmers, including new farmers and small to mid-sized farms. For the rural communities to be competitive, Iowa and the nation must reinvest in a solid infrastructure. That means repairing roads and nearly 5,000 structurally deficient bridges, water and sewer systems, and finally making sure that everyone has access to cellular and broadband technology. Telly says the Iowa primary is June 5th, but early voting and absentee balloting began on May 7th. The time to decide on the best candidate to serve your needs and the needs of your fellow Iowans is now. The public is invited to attend and hear Ms. Axne discuss her policy plans. And the state treasurer is touting the use of 529 plans like College Savings Iowa as a way for relatives to help save for their loved ones' future higher education expenses. Michael Fitzgerald says the plan offers a great way for students' families to help them prepare for college.
Parents or grandparents can put up to $3,319 into an account for a student, deduct it from their Iowa taxes, and it'll grow. It'll be professionally invested, and it'll grow tax-free. And students can go wherever they want to go to college.
And while 529 College Savings Day will be celebrated on May 29th, Fitzgerald is using the whole month to promote the program, encouraging people to head to the College Savings Iowa website to learn more.
We encourage people to go to Iowa529contest.com, and we have a three-minute video there. It just shows them how simple it is and how great it is, and you're automatically enrolled for a drawing. We're going to give away a $529 scholarship this month, and all you have to do is look at that video. You're automatically signed up.
Fitzgerald says the program offers families a tax-advantaged way to save money for their children's higher education, which he says he does for his grandchildren on a regular basis.
I can deduct that right from my Iowa income taxes. Not your federal, but you can deduct it from your Iowa income taxes. And then I get to choose 14 different options, Vanguard mutual funds, so it's professionally managed, and it'll grow tax-free. The federal government won't tax it, the state government won't tax it, and you can go to any school in the United States you want to go to.
Speaking in Mason City, Fitzgerald says the program can help address the skilled worker shortage in the state, as children can also choose to use the money to go to a trade school.
Want to learn how to be a good welder? It's a great income, but it's still going to cost you, you know, to go to the area school, you know, a couple thousand dollars. This can also pay for room and board. So if you're living, you know, 50 miles away from, let's say, Nyack, you're probably going to have to get an apartment up here. Well, you can use that money for room, board, tuition, things like that.
You can learn more at collegesavingsiowa.com or call 888-672-9116. In world news headlines this hour, North Korea says it will hold a ceremony for the dismantling of its nuclear test site later this month ahead of leader Kim Jong-un's June summit with President Donald Trump. North Korea's foreign ministry said Saturday that all of the tunnels at the country's northeastern testing ground will be destroyed by explosion, and that observation and research facilities and ground-based guard units will also be removed. Low turnout and voting irregularities marked the initial hours of voting in Iraq's first election since the country declared victory over the Islamic State group. In an effort to get more people to the polls, Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi partially lifted a security curfew Saturday morning. After weeks of official campaigning, no clear frontrunner has emerged in Iraq's national election, as al-Abadi faces stiff competition from political parties with closer ties to Iran. It was an impromptu bit of dinner diplomacy between Israeli's leader Benjamin Netanyahu and an Emirati ambassador, and it sheds light on one of the Arab world's worst-kept secrets, quiet ties with Israel that are increasingly coming out in the open. In March, Netanyahu and a group hosted by the diplomat were dining at a Washington restaurant at the same time. At the request of the envoy's guest, Netanyahu and his wife joined briefly, and he answered some questions on Iran and other topics. President Donald Trump wants to make a deal with California for a single national fuel economy standard, a key concern for automakers he met with Friday. Trump agreed to have Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao and Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt handle the talks. That's according to two people who were briefed on the meeting. The auto industry wants to relax the federal fuel economy standards, but not so much that they provoke a legal fight with California. President Donald Trump's long-promised plan for lowering drug prices won't take on the pharmaceutical industry he previously accused of getting away with murder. A raft of smaller measures designed to increase competition and transparency could avoid a clash with drug makers, but may underwhelm Americans seeking relief from rising pharmacy costs. Trump says his plan is the most sweeping in the nation's history. That's a look at news. Now in your funeral announcements, Phyllis L.K., age 80, of Atlantic, died May 5th at the Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for Phyllis K. will be held today at 11 a.m. at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Carol Sampson, age 74, of Exira, died Monday at the Iowa Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for Carol Sampson will be held today at 2 p.m. at the Exira Christian Church in Exira. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Ruth Harrison, age 93, of Anita, died Tuesday at Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab Center in Anita. Funeral services for Ruth Harrison will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the Anita United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home has arrangements. Beverly Ann Beckendorf, age 81, of Walnut, died Wednesday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. A memorial service for Bev Beckendorf will take place on Monday at 11:30 a.m. at the Oakland United Methodist Church in Oakland. Reconvith Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. Gaylord Ivan Johnson, age 69, of Avoca, died Friday at Avoca Specialty Care. Funeral services for Gaylord Ivan Johnson will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Altamont Baptist Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Doris Elaine Newell, age 91, of Urbandale, formerly of Anita, died Tuesday at a senior suites of Urbandale. Funeral services for Doris Newell will be held Tuesday at 1 p.m. in the Hockenbray Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Richard Dick Jenkins, age 86, of Greenfield, died Thursday at the Story County Medical Center in Nevada. Funeral services for Dick Jenkins are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Evelyn Moss, age 94, of Stewart, died May 3rd at the Stewart Community Care Center. Services for and visitation for Evelyn Moss are pending at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.